The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote in his book, A Body of Divinity, reflecting on the incarnation. He said, "He was poor that he might make us rich. He was born of a virgin that we might be born of God. He took our flesh that he might give us his spirit. He lay in the manger that we might lie in paradise. He came down from heaven that he might bring us to heaven. Let the Ancient of Days should be born, that he who thunders in the heavens should cry in the cradle, that a virgin should conceive, that Christ should be born of a woman, and of that woman that he himself made, that the mother should be younger than the child she bore, and the child in the womb bigger than the mother, fully man and fully God. This was not only amazing, but miraculous." Tonight, we're going to take a few moments to reflect on that, to reflect on the incarnation, the amazing truth that the eternal Son of God took on human flesh and dwelt among us. This is the heart of what we celebrate during the Christmas season, that God stepped into our world in the person of Jesus Christ to save us. And this is what we see in our passage tonight in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where the Apostle Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. The main point that we see in our text tonight is very clear. The incarnation of the Son of God led to our redemption and adoption. And so very briefly, I want to reflect on four key aspects of the incarnation that we see here in Galatians 4. Specifically, the timing, the source, the manner, and the purpose of the incarnation. The timing, the source, the manner, and the purpose. We first see the timing of the incarnation. The text says, "But when the fullness of time had come." When the fullness of time had come. This means that Jesus came at exactly the right moment. His birth wasn't random. It wasn't some last-minute solution to deal with our sin. It had been planned from eternity past. And God's people had been waiting for this moment because God had promised them that it would happen. All the way back in the book of Genesis, right after the fall, God made the first promise about the coming of Jesus. Speaking to the serpent, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring." He, speaking of Christ, "he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Later in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised to David that one day he would have a son who would rule on his throne forever. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, God promised that a child would be born and given who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so for centuries, God's people held on to these promises, waiting for the Messiah to come and to save them. And so here in Galatians 4:4, we read, "But when the fullness of time had come." The incarnation of Jesus happened according to the sovereign timing and perfect plan of God. We don't know exactly what day Jesus was born. We celebrate his birth on December 25th, but the Bible doesn't give us a specific date. But what we do know is that Jesus came at exactly the right time, in the fullness of time. God's timing is never off. And so if you're here tonight and you're struggling with doubt or fear or some sort of uncertainty, let this truth from Scripture encourage you that God is sovereign, that his timing is perfect. Just as God sent his Son at the right moment in history in the fullness of time, God is working in your life with that same exact perfect timing. Even when we can't see the full picture, we can trust that his plan is unfolding exactly as it should. And so trust in him, knowing that he is always faithful. The timing of the incarnation. We also see the source of the incarnation. Paul says, God sent forth his Son. We read here what it cost God. God sent forth or sent away his Son. In John 3:16, we read that God gave his only Son. And when we read here that God sent his Son, that tells us something important. If God sent forth his Son, then doesn't that mean that his Son already existed? This was not the beginning of the Son's existence, but it was the beginning of his coming into this world as the God-man. Jesus did not come into being at his birth. He has always existed as a divine person. We read about that in, I think, our first scripture reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Son is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. And when Paul says God sent forth his Son, we see that God the Father was the source of the incarnation. It was his plan. 1 John 4:9-10 says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then in verse 14, he adds, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." God the Father sent his Son Jesus into the world in order to fulfill his eternal plan of redemption. This reveals the depth of his love. Think about what it cost him and the greatness of his grace. God the Father is the source of the incarnation. And then we also see the manner of the incarnation. God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. And this means that God became one of us. In fact, the word incarnation means in the flesh. John 1:14, which we read earlier, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. On Christmas Day, the eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 says that Christ Jesus was born in the likeness of men. And the familiar story of Jesus' birth, Luke 2, which we looked at on Sunday, says, "And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger." Jesus was born of woman. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew explains that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, which fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was born of woman. This highlights his humanity. He is fully God, but he is also fully man. He experienced life as we do. He ate, he drank, he slept and cried. He felt pain and sorrow. And ultimately, he died. This is the amazing and, as Thomas Watson said, miraculous truth of the incarnation. God became a human being. The Creator entered his creation. The infinite God took on the limitations of humanity, not just to identify with us, but to save us. Only by becoming fully man could he offer his body as the sacrifice for our sins and be raised bodily from the grave. This is the miracle of Christmas, that God came near. The timing, the source, the manner, and lastly, we see the purpose of the incarnation. And we can't forget that the hope of salvation doesn't just rest in the person of Jesus Christ. It also rests in the work of Jesus Christ. The incarnation alone doesn't save. Bethlehem without Calvary, the manger without the cross, is not good news. Yes, the virgin birth is a miracle, and it should fill us with awe and wonder. But it means nothing. It means nothing without Christ's perfect atoning sacrifice on the cross. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 tells us the purpose of the incarnation. Look at verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law. To redeem those who were under the law. That word redeem means to buy back or to set free by paying a price. Redemption implies that we are in bondage, enslaved to something that's so overwhelming that we cannot free ourselves. And so when Paul writes here to redeem those who were under the law, he is pointing to our spiritual condition apart from Christ. We were slaves. Earlier in Galatians 4:3, Paul says, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Enslaved to sin. Condemned by the law. And helpless to change our situation. Jesus came to redeem those under the law. Because the law of God reveals God's perfect standard, but it also exposes our inability to meet that standard. Every command we break confirms our guilt against a holy God. As Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We are all lawbreakers. And because of this, we stand condemned under the curse of the law and deserving death and judgment. But here's the good news. Jesus came to redeem us. He was born under the law. He lived under the same commands and requirements, but unlike us, he obeyed them perfectly. He fulfilled every requirement of God's law and then through his death on the cross, paid the penalty of our sins. Matthew 28:20 says that he gave his life as a ransom for many. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, he, Jesus, entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. What was the cost of our redemption? What was the price that had to be paid? The blood of Jesus. He came as a baby in the incarnation so that he could go to the cross, so that he could bear the weight of our sin and purchase our freedom. He was treated as if he committed all our sins so that we could be redeemed. And as one Bible commentator puts it, the doctrine of redemption is three-dimensional. The doctrine of redemption is three-dimensional. We are redeemed from something, the slavery of sin. We are redeemed by something, the precious blood of Jesus. And we are redeemed unto something, adoption. Adoption as sons and daughters. That's what the last half of verse 5 tells us. So that we might receive adoption as sons. Not only has Christ redeemed us and rescued us from the bondage of sin and the curse of the law, but he has also brought us into the family of God. In Christ, we're not just freed slaves, but adopted children. And that means we now have the full rights and privileges as the children of God. This was the glorious purpose of the incarnation, that sinners could be redeemed and adopted into God's family forever. Ephesians 1:5-6 tells us that he, God the Father, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. That's the message that we sing about. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born in his spirit, washed in his blood. But very briefly, notice that one word in verse 5, receive. Receive. Paul says, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We're not saved by our own works. We're not redeemed because we earn it or because we deserve it. We are redeemed and adopted because of what Jesus has done for us. Salvation is not something we earn. It's a gift we receive by faith. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 say, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so my question for you here tonight is this. Have you received him? Have you received Jesus? Because this is what Christmas is really about. The reason for the season isn't the gifts or the good food or the lights on the Christmas tree. The reason for the season is the gift of salvation given through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and deep down you know that there's something missing. You've been searching for meaning or to find fulfillment, or you have this desire for peace, but nothing satisfies, nothing fulfills. And instead of peace, you're just full of anxiety. Friend, come to Jesus. He alone brings complete and true satisfaction. He alone brings lasting peace. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel too broken or unworthy of God's love. Maybe you would say, if you knew the things I've done, well, then you'd agree that I'm too messed up for God to forgive me. Well, let me remind you tonight, this is exactly why he came. This is exactly why he came. Jesus did not come for perfect people. Jesus did not come for good people. He came to save sinners like you and me. He came to redeem and restore the broken, and to make us children of God. And so tonight, I urge you to repent of your sins and turn to Christ. He came to redeem and adopt us. This Christmas, don't let the busyness of the season or the stresses of this life distract you from its true meaning. Whether you're experiencing deep joy in this moment or experiencing heart-wrenching grief, remember the hope and peace found in the gospel. Rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice in the incarnation, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, born under the law to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption, redemption, and adoption. What an incredible, holy, sovereign, and gracious God we serve. One who would step out of eternity and into time so that he could do what we could never do for ourselves. Think about that this Christmas. This Advent season, Advent just meaning coming, is an opportunity to reflect on the first time that Jesus came to this earth. To be born, to live perfectly under the law, and to die for us, and to rise again. But don't forget, Scripture tells us that he is coming again in the fullness of time. And when he comes again, he will gather his people to himself, and we will see him face to face. In church, he will wipe away every tear. He will wipe away every tear and forever destroy sin, pain, and death. So rejoice in Christ, the one who came in the fullness of time and the one who will come again. He has redeemed us. and adopted us, and he will make all things new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of your great love. Your great love displayed so clearly in the incarnation of Jesus, that in the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us and make us your children. Lord, thank you for the gift of redemption and the privilege of adoption into your family. Lord, would you make our hearts filled with gratitude for that? Would you help us to live lives that are shaped by this truth? Would you help us to trust in your perfect timing and to rest in your sovereign plan? And Lord, for those here tonight who feel weary or broken, would you draw them to yourself? Remind them of the peace and joy and hope that only you can provide. And for anyone here tonight who feels lost or unworthy, reveal to them your grace and draw them to Jesus. And as we celebrate Christ's first coming, we also long for his return. Until that day, Lord, keep us faithful, living in the light of your grace and proclaiming this good news to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.